Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of The Big Show. It's The Usual Suspects coming to you live on ESPN 97.5. We are live here at Twin Peaks 59 in Kirby. You should stop on by, because I'm telling you, Barry and I both indulged in the food for lunch. It was
so
fantastic.
Good. I had the salmon and the sweet potato hash, because I'm eating healthy. It was
legit. Is the sweet potato hash healthy?
Yeah.
Is it fried?
The whole thing was 900 calories.
Really?
Yeah. Whole thing.
That's impressive.
It was legit.
Yeah, because you had a plate. That was a good plate full of food.
Man, yeah, I probably won't eat much for dinner. That's like, man, it was good.
I did the grilled chicken and shrimp, and it was fantastic.
All right.
Yeah, and if you're going to catch a couple of beers when you watch the game, 29 degrees is the temperature for the brews here. So you're going to make sure that the ice-cold beer is ready and available. The food is fantastic. And, of course, there's all kinds of screens all across this place. And, again, the scenery ain't bad, fellas. I'm just letting you know.
Nope. Scenic views.
Yeah.
A couple texts to get to before we move on. AT&T said, don't waste your time with Schindler's List. Watch Pulp Fiction instead. I don't know. I mean, I've heard both are really good. So, should the Texans do the right thing and hand over their AFC South championship banner to the Colts? You go to hell, sir.
Wow.
They're not giving up the banner. They won that fair and square, okay? Fair and square.
They did.
It's not happening.
Someone was tagging us on Twitter this weekend asking, is Andrew Luck head and shoulders the best quarterback in the division? And did they ask, are the Colts, because I said, I mean, I don't know about head and shoulders for Andrew Luck, although he's the best quarterback in the division right now, probably because of what he's playing. But I will say, if you're the Texans, you dang well better be prepared for the fact that the Colts ain't going anywhere.
Well, true. And I think there's no doubt he's head and shoulders the best quarterback in the AFC South. But I will say this about this loss. And if you want some, not necessarily good news, but maybe something to look forward to. This kind of game, when you have a guy that has the potential that Deshaun Watson has, I don't think it breaks him, first of all. I don't think it breaks his spirit. It doesn't break his confidence. What it does is it becomes a learning experience for Deshaun. And I think he's a better quarterback because of what just happened on Saturday. I think he'll be a better quarterback next year. I think he'll be a better quarterback in the playoffs. I think his approach is different. If you've heard people talk about Deshaun Watson and this, you know, and being coached and how he learns the game, they say he never makes the same mistake twice. They say that once you point it out and show him, he processes it, it registers, and he moves on and it becomes better. And he had a terrible game, and there's no doubt. And I think AJ said it best. You know, Deshaun Watson has won and will win a lot of games for the Texans, but he lost that game for him. I mean, it's kind of obvious. He had an open DeAndre Hopkins in the end zone that he missed. There's a lot of – so he's going to be better for it. I think he – so that's the thing to look forward to is – he'll be a better quarterback because of what happened.
It's a good point because Matt Nagy, of all the things coming out of the Bears game, I think the most positive things for the Bears is exactly what Matt Nagy said. He said, this is the same way we felt when we lost to Green Bay in week one when we had the big lead. He goes, I want the players leaving tonight to feel this way. I want them to learn from this and remember this. So going forward, hopefully they don't have to go through this again and they'll remember how bad it hurt. He said, I want my coaches to feel this way, the players. I thought that was as best as you can handle a no-win situation. Because, look, everybody to a man in Chicago loves Nagy. He's done a lot of great things. Obviously, he's still learning, but I think you're absolutely right. From a Deshaun Watson perspective, as long as he learns from this, I hate to burst a lot of Texans fans' bubbles, but you weren't winning the Super Bowl and you weren't going there this year anyway. So if anything you can take away from this, although you obviously didn't expect to lose this game, didn't want to lose this game. But if your best player can walk away from this and learn something from it and be better going forward as a franchise, you're probably in a better situation. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Hey, Troy wants to talk Texans. Troy, is he still there, Nick? Hey, Nick.
Yo.
Did we lose Nick? Is Troy still there on the phone?
He is. He's on.
Yes,
he's ready to go.
All right, Troy, what's up, man?
What's going on? Hey, it's
Happy
just
New
my
Year, Troy.
Opinion. That, Happy New Year's to you guys. It's just my opinion that it was embarrassing Saturday. My question, and it's kind of a poll question, and I'd like to hear what the other listeners got to think about it, but what was more embarrassing, the Texans Saturday or the 93 Oilers?
Well, as a fan, I know you said listeners, but, you know, I can hear our show too. As a fan, I'm going to say the Oilers. That Buffalo loss, 35-3, was it? Yeah,
yeah,
I'm going to go. In fact, I was kind of hoping, you know, when Cody was on with us, he played on the anniversary of the Bills-Oilers comeback. He played play-by-play of that, trying to exorcise the demons. So my mindset was, you know what? And I tweeted it out. Houston football owes Frank Reich a comeback. And it was was really hoping that was going to happen, and so it didn't. But I don't think this team was ready. I think they were outcoached. I think they were outplayed. But I'm going to say from a pure embarrassment standpoint, the Oilers back in the day got way conservative. They played prevent and prevented them from winning. That's the big joke. I think that's way more. You're up 35-3.
And that's
you
a
have
team,
to win that game.
That's a team that people thought could go all the way.
That's a team that was fully loaded.
That's why I think, in a nutshell, it was a bigger embarrassment. And the thing is, guys, and we can get into this as well in terms of where do you go from here and what are you doing if you're the Texans. But the biggest thing, if you look at the four teams that won this weekend and you look at the one mainstay that they had, their offensive lines were all solid. Two of them took on elite defenses in the league, in Baltimore and in Chicago, kept their quarterback upright, allowed them to do at least what they had to do to move the football and put points on the board. And the other two, not only were they able to protect their quarterback, but they were able to run to the football to some degree to create balance, which allowed the Cowboys to move the ball with Zeke, got him a ton of touches. He paid benefits over and over again. And when you look at what happened with the Colts, they protected Andrew Luck. They ran the football with Mac for over 100 yards, and they did what they needed to do. And I think that from a Texan standpoint, yeah, we can laugh about it. Yeah, we can talk about it. Yeah, we can point to the offensive line all year as being a point of contention. But it's got to be addressed going forward because this kid is too good and you can't afford to get him dinged up. And your running game was too – he led your team in rushing.
Yeah, and the thing that amazes me is that, like, in the Dallas game, we talked about, you know, the how does the Seahawks not run the ball at all? Like, they did nothing.
Yep.
And the same thing, the Texans really got nothing going. So you look at teams like the Colts, and you kind of underestimate them. I think the Cowboys might be underestimated by a lot of folks, but those two teams stopped two of the better rushing attacks in the NFL. So going forward, don't sleep on Dallas, and don't sleep on these Colts because they were able to do what a lot of people didn't think they could do, and that's stop the run. So good for those teams. And by the way, I know we're going to go to break in just a second, Nick, but you watched the game, right? Like, mm-hmm. You saw the broadcast?
Yep.
Was I the only one that felt like Booger McFarland was just absolutely in love with the cover two and he wouldn't stop talking about it?
Yeah.
It was nauseating how he just kept – I liken it – if the cover two was an actual man, Booger McFarland would probably try to do dirty things to his body. Like, he loved it so much. It was like, dude, we get it. You played for the Colts. You played in Tampa. You played the Tampa 2 cover 2. We get it. But let it go.
And
like,
everything was zone this and
oh
zone that.
God,
and the Texans against the zone.
It was nauseating. And up until this game, and now you know me, I don't – if I think somebody's a good announcer, even if they're, talking bad about the Texans or whatever team I root for, it doesn't bother me. I can be impartial when it comes to that. I just thought it was disgusting, his call of the game. It was egregious how much he was infatuated and in love with the Colts and the defense. And
it seemed like they took his booger mobile away. And they put him in the booth.
So he was more talkative.
And he was trying to be more chatty and fit into more of the dialogue in the booth. And it just felt like a third wheel. Like, and you're right. And he was just stuck on one point it took away from the overall broadcast. I turned the volume down a lot. I was just watching the game. I couldn't stand listening to Vandermeer either for a while because you could feel like someone took his took his little red wagon away. He was starting to get the dauber down.
Sounds sad.
Oh, my God. After the Colts scored on the second drive, it was just like someone took his lunch money and told him to go home because he was just really down.
That's too funny.
But, yeah, it was – I hear what you're saying about Booger. So
it was driving me nuts.
Yeah. I get it. All right, we can continue to roll on the Texans. We've got other football games to talk about, including the national championship game tonight. So feel free to join us, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text, and, of course, as always, you can always, always, always hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Parsons Golf, because I'm telling you, PXG is the newest, latest, and greatest golf club out there, and everyone is talking about them, and everybody wants – if you're playing golf and you want to enjoy the game, then you know that the main thing that you're always focused on is you want lower scores. You want to hit it higher, hit it farther, have a club that's more forgiving. Well, I'm telling you that these are the clubs that you must play if you are a golf fan, because PXG Clubs and Parsons Golf are here to tell you they have created the latest, the greatest, the best product out there. And don't take my word for it. If you talk to the golf critics across the country, they're talking about the best club on the market. They're talking about the best for any golfer on your list, whether it be for a holiday gift, a birthday gift, or just because you want to take care of a loved one that absolutely loves to play golf. And the PGA Tour pros that are playing them, they can't stop raving about them as well, because they're the best club out there, and they've won on every professional tour out there, and they've even won an NCAA championship. So I'm telling you, if you are like me and you play golf and you want a golf club that is not going to let you down and it's actually going to do wonders for your golf game, then check out PXG.com. Check out Parsons Golf and all the things that the PXG golf clubs can do. And by the way, you get fitted when you get these clubs, and you can get them get fitted right here at the Club of Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. So it's absolutely convenient for you as well. Check them out at PXG.com. It's Parsons Golf. They're the best clubs on the market, bar none.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on a national championship Monday. We are coming to you live from Twin Peaks right here at 59 and Kirby. If you're in the area, stop on by, grab some great food and beverage. And, of course, if you're looking for a great spot to watch the game tonight, there is none better than Twin Peaks. Plenty of televisions, unbelievably cold beer at 29 degrees at all times. Great food and, of course, that scenery we've been talking about. It's worth the price of admission, but you don't have to pay. So stop in and see us. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Definitely a great spot to watch the game.
What did you have? Your food?
I had the grilled shrimp and chicken with the vegetables.
Oh, you got grilled shrimp.
Yep.
You don't get fried shrimp?
I mean, I'd like to, but I'm trying to.
Trying to.
Look, last week I worked out very well.
Okay.
But. With the wife's birthday and the cupcakes and the cake that
oh,
was
did you partake in the cupcakes?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, this is the week it starts completely. But it's good news for the peeps and the suspects, too, because as you started promoting at the end of last week, the weight loss challenge is on again.
That's right.
And that is fantastic
I'm
news.
Glad you mentioned that. Yeah, if you want to get in, we don't have all of the particulars just yet. We're close. But go ahead and email us or text us, 713-780-3776. Just text the show. All I need is your name and your email. We'll get you added to the list, and you will be included in the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, year number 2. So 713-780-3776, just text the show, or you can DM me on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, and just send me your name and your email, and you'll be in. We'll make sure you get all of the info when it comes out.
Absolutely. Going to be a lot of fun. We're all going to be partaking again. And again, you could win some great prizes. And a lot of people just need motivation. And last year we saw the results. The more that they were motivated, the more that they stayed in tune and kept on their workout and their diet goals, the more the pounds came off and the happier the people were. And we love seeing those results. So it should be a lot of fun again this year. And we're all going to take part in it. I believe so. Right, Nick?
Yeah, Nick especially needs to lose a lot of weight.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just making sure I don't want to speak for him. That we're
I do want to go
partake
to Vortex.
In.
I do need to hit the gym for sure.
Yes, sir. Hey, did you guys see this Steve Smith dogging Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Nick, we have the audio on this. I want the people to hear this if they haven't already. So Steve Smith of the NFL Network was on Good Morning Football, and he was basically saying that he felt like Deshaun Watson should have just played football instead of pointing every time he got a first down. And it sounded a little bit like this.
Watching a guy get a first down and signaling a first down when you're getting beat 21 donut, bro, put the ball down, get your ass back in the huddle and get your guys down the field. Quit signaling a first down like you're on their sideline first. Bro, it's 21 donut.
Oh, you got yourself a montage, I see.
Yes. 21-0. 21-0. And all these plays, guess what? Check down Charlie.
Well, I knew it was coming.
Check down Charlie. Getting and as a wide receiver, I hate seeing you do all that and some people will go watch and say, oh, Steve, you did that. Yeah, I did. But when we was getting our ass whooped, put the ball down, get back in the huddle, and let's go back to work. Don't give me a first down signal when you can't throw the ball past 20 yards and complete it. And when you did, you're giving it to the other team. That's where the maturity and also the showboat when you actually show up, okay? They didn't show up. 21-7. That's not what we've seen, and that's not what we expect.
The Colts were getting.
You know, the funny thing to me about that is I do agree with him to a certain degree. That's probably not the – but you got to know, too, that the crowd was out of it. Deshaun Watson's trying to get the crowd back into it. That's part of the reason why he does it. The only one where I felt like he shouldn't have done it was when he was in the Colts bench. He got bumped out of bounds. Yeah. He got the first down, which ended up not being a first down, by the way. He jumps up, does the first down signal, and he ends up being like 4 yards short of the first down itself. So interesting to hear Steve Smith say that. I think he may be just being a little petty about it. He's got a point to a degree. You don't necessarily want to be celebrating. I think it's more egregious when you got a guy that scores a touchdown. Maybe you're losing like 30-0 and you score a touchdown and then you start celebrating. Then it looks ridiculous. But just getting a first down, not so much. But of all people to come to the rescue and the defense of Deshaun Watson, would it surprise you if I told you it was Jalen Ramsey? That
I saw that,
defense.
But yes, it was shocking to me.
And this is what he said on Twitter. He said, a little late, but this ain't it. This is what's wrong with the game now. No matter the score, you always supposed to turn up and play with passion on the field. You getting first down after first down, swag it out. Deshaun Watson, keep balling, have fun while doing it, young king. I was surprised a little bit that Jalen Ramsey was the guy that would come to his defense. Pretty interesting there. You agree with Steve Smith and his take on the celebrating the first downs?
I don't, because it's a different era. You don't want to sound like Clint Eastwood, get off my lawn guy. But at the same time, you know, everyone's doing it. You know, I do think that when you're down and trailing in the game, I get his point to a degree that, hey, look, the biggest thing where you could have faltered is if the clock is ticking and you're wasting a lot of time. We saw Cam Newton do that late in the game. Needed all those extra precious seconds, but he wasted quite a few doing his little first down dance and all that stuff. But in this case, look, you know, he was trying to keep the crowd in it, his team in it, you know, maybe even himself to some degree to stay, you know, get, you know, really psyched up about it. I'm not going to go overboard and say that, you know, it was just it's an extremely bad look. Would I have done it? No, but I'm not him.
Yeah, I don't know. I, to a degree, I completely understand what he's saying, but I mean, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It takes 1 second to just point down the field. But, I mean, I get it, though. He's saying you're down 21-0. I don't know. It seemed a little petty for him to go on a rant like that. You could have just said, oh, by the way, you know, maybe be closer than 21-0 if you're going to point when you get a first down.
Yeah.
But he went on like a rant, and he had a montage of all the different first down plays. It seemed a little much. It seemed a little extra. But
I'm with you.
Whatever.
I get it. I totally get that. But you know what? At the same time, this is a guy, and I know he tried to somewhat cover for himself, but this was a guy that was always going extra. with the dances and the celebrations and the starting fights with the defensive backs and talking mess and all those things. That would be like Michael Irvin saying, hey, calm down and just hand the ball to the ref and move
or
on.
T.O.
Yeah, I mean, stop it.
Yeah. Of the not Texans game, which one did you enjoy the most?
I should say the Bears game. Because everybody thought that I was on that bandwagon of enjoying seeing them lose. No, I think, you know, and you know, we've got some Bears fans that are friends of the show, including Pick Me, Mike. And I felt very bad for them. But that was the game I was most looking forward to all weekend, and I thought it lived up to the billing. I thought the fact that it might not have been as high scoring as others had expected or thought it might go, but it was entertaining. It was, you know, there was a lot of suspense in that game. The fourth down play by Foles, the way the Bears in the return, and they got back in it. Trubisky definitely played a big game, because the other thing that I was looking at in all these games was the younger the quarterback, the less I have confidence in their team. And we saw that with Jackson and the Ravens.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And you look at Deshaun Watson and say, yeah, he's going to get there, but maybe that had something to do with it. But, man, oh, man, Trubisky didn't do anything to hurt his team, really. I mean, he kept him in the game. He made some big-time throws, and he looks like he is definitely their franchise quarterback to build around, and I was impressed by him.
So we got to get to a break. I think Cowboys-Seahawks was the most fun for me.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was a really good football game. I mean, Russell Wilson, how do you let Tyler Lockett get behind your defense when you know Russell Wilson's Mr. Captain comeback? But when we get back from break, I want to get your thoughts on the Ravens and Harbaugh. And I thought Flacco would see the second half. Get your thoughts on that and see whether you thought he should have played or not.
You think that Seabass being a 247-pound kicker had anything to do with the hamstring? I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there as well, too. So, all right, before we get to all that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. They are local. They're right here down the road on Highway 59 Feeder Road over by Shepherd. And I'm telling you, whether you stop in and see them in person or you hit them up, whether you go to InfuseEnergy.com or you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you are going to be glad you did, because it's a locally owned and operated energy company. And right from the get-go, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, you are going to get a $25 bill credit. But you're going to go from there, and it's not an automated system like all the big-name companies that want your energy business. You're going to get a human being. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to find out and tailor-make a plan for you when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for business? Is it for your family? And go from there. When do you use energy? On the weekends, at night, all those kind of things. And it ends up where you find out that they are like a trusted friend. They're not going to try and screw you over or deceive you. They're going to be 100% honest. And that means sometimes, but not very often, they'll tell you there's competition in the marketplace that can actually give you a better deal. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, they want to be upfront and honest with you, because you'll remember them and you'll come back to Infuse Energy. If you don't go with them now, you'll go with them later, because you know that they weren't willing to risk the long-term ramifications of lying to you. And they're going to make sure that they're 100% honest. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. I'm telling you right now, gang, I made the switch and saved thousands in the year previous. Infuse energy into your life.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, coming to you live from Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby, it is The Usual Suspects. It's Barry and Joel here, Nick there at the studio. And, of course, we're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. If you're looking for a great place to watch the game tonight, we can only tell you so many times and continue to emphasize, Twin Peaks right here, or any of the 5 locations in the Houston area, is perfect for that, because there's plenty of TVs, there's 29-degree beer, there's fantastic food, and have we mentioned the scenery? It's above average. It's very good. Thumbs up from the bar and all over the place. Needless to say, if the game isn't entertaining, there is plenty that will keep you occupied while here at Twin Peaks.
No doubt about it whatsoever. I want to get to thoughts on Flacco and Jackson and Harbaugh, and should he been in there. And we've got text to get to, but I think we have a caller. Did you say Joe? Nick?
We've got Roger. Roger's on hold.
Roger, I wasn't even close.
Close enough. Hey, how's it
Roger,
going,
what's
guys?
Up?
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well. I was just wanted to talk about the Texans and their lackluster performance on Saturday. I really think it's going to be a pretty tight window with them trying to do anything, get out of the AFC South, because it seems like Andrew Luck is on his way again to having that great career that we thought he might have. And it seems like they have a lot of salary cap space available. And it just seems like it's going to be tough sledding from here on out. Please,
Go ahead, Bear.
All right. Appreciate the call, man. I don't know what I'm supposed to say that. I don't really have a – I don't – Andrew Luck is going to be as good as we thought.
Yeah.
It was just now that he's healthy. Every team is going to have salary cap issues. That's why the salary cap exists. And, you know, if you're worried, you're going to free up like 12 mil when Clowney becomes a free agent. So whether they go after him or not remains to be seen. In fact, speaking of that, somebody texted the show five or six times. I almost shouldn't read it because they texted it so much. But it says, question of the day, would y'all trade Clowney for Ramsey, then use a first-round pick on Clowney's replacement? Well, one, now that the season's over, he's an unrestricted free agent, so you better make that happen. And nobody's going to want to trade you for a guy that can hit the market in Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, they can franchise him. But
They could franchise him. That is true. But, no, I wouldn't trade for Ramsey and then go after another edge rusher in the draft, because you have bigger needs than that. You obviously need offensive line and secondary help. That's what I would focus on. I would go out and get a lineman with my pick or whatever, and not get Clowney's replacement. The whole goal, if I'm the GM, if I'm Brian Gain, I am going out, and the Colts did it, and they talked about that on the broadcast. Now, the Colts went against the grain of what the NFL usually says. You know, they say there's a couple things you don't draft early in the draft, running backs and guards.
Yep, yep.
They went out and got a guard, and look,
ooh,
what Nelson
the real
is
deal.
A, is, yeah.
He's
so,
a beast.
So how good would he look in a Texans uniform?
Yeah,
I mean, go out and get some guys that can help protect your franchise quarterback. Now that you have a franchise quarterback, the next step, above all else, secondary be damned and everything else, the next step is to protect him.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing. We did a video just that'll be out either tonight or tomorrow on sportsmap.com too as well. But it's worth asking the question, if you're Brian Gain and the Texans, are you going to take that next – are you going to go for it? Or are you going to continue to be what the Texans have always been, which is conservative and trying to play every card the right way, by the vest, not spending too much, not doing too many things? Because the other question I was going to ask you is it twofold – if you're the Texans, to go after Le'Veon Bell? Because you look at what we saw with the Colts, right? We looked at the fact that Mac did a decent job. He ran the ball for over 100 yards, but Luck is back. And as you mentioned, they built up their offensive line. Their defense is young, and it's going to get better. And we had the discussion about whether they're going to take control of the division as the team to beat. With all those things being said, it's twofold if you look at Le'Veon Bell. Because you know that you've heard that the Colts have interest in Le'Veon Bell. He has interest in them. But if you don't get him and the Colts get him, is that really, really putting you in behind the eight ball in a really tough spot? And if you get him, does that create the balance necessary with the run game, the pass game? Obviously, you let go of Miller at that point. And then you just – because you have your full complement and a few extra picks this year, and you do have some money to spend, do you then use every means necessary to add to your offensive line, but at least from the standpoint of – you get the running back in his prime that can help you out of the backfield, and also he's a workhorse, and you keep him from the Colts, and then you can also develop your line.
What was the question again?
Never mind.
There was a lot to that. So the question was, do you go after
Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, obviously he's an upgrade over anybody that the Texans have, just about anybody in the division, just about.
Yep.
I would make the attempt. I mean, obviously you inquire. But again, I think it's one of those positions where you look at Le'Veon Bell's replacement and Connor, and he had a fine year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the Steelers' woes weren't because they didn't have Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Antonio Brown had a lot to do with that. Ben Roethlisberger had an off year. I would certainly consider, especially if it helps prevent the Colts from
getting him.
That's playing chess, not checkers, right? So
right.
you want to. It's twofold. You get better in the run game. You also prevent a division rival from getting better in the run game at the same time.
Yep.
But it you know. it just depends on what it costs you and how
that's
does it,
the biggest
how
thing
does
to
it strap you financially from filling other holes? Do you think that if you can you get by with Lamar Miller and a few other guys and fill some other holes in the secondary and on the offensive line and everything else? Because to me, that's got to be the priority above all else. It's you've got to start building up a legitimate offensive line.
Yeah, I wrote the article last night, and everybody thought, well, it's not like we haven't talked about it in the past. But look, it's been fool's gold when they won the 9 in a row and people stopped talking about it, and they didn't realize the fact that Watson's athleticism and escapability is the only reason why that line really looked at least serviceable for as long as they did. But long term, if you're going to keep this kid upright and let him to continue to develop and grow, you've got to put together an offensive line that can make sure for the long haul they're going to do those things that you need done so he's on the field.
I would agree with you to a certain degree, but I do think that – I don't think it was fool's gold when they were able to run the ball. I think it just they just stopped being productive. I think that offensive line at a certain point in this season for a stretch of games was legitimately good at run blocking. Pass blocking, I'm with you. They've never been good, and Deshaun Watson's always been running for his life. But they were decent. They were average – at run blocking. I mean, they did sure. a decent job, and the zone blocking scheme held up well for this team for a finite amount of time, but you can't count on that. If they're going to be that wildly inconsistent, you've got to get better. I think you've got to start in center, but so you're okay there. You got to add some legitimate guards and tackles to this offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, the other thing that is worth talking about this, too, is the fact that Watson was the second leading rusher on the team. Now, I understand that he's going to get out and run when, whether either Bill O'Brien calls a play for it or he's just escaping the pocket.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't really feel like he should be the second leading rusher on the team, too. So
no.
That means that you've got to do some things to amp up the offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt. Somebody texted in and said, Barry, did you get blocked by Joel Osteen on Twitter? Yes, I did. I absolutely did get blocked by him. He's I heard this from a lot of people, though. They were saying that if you came out against him during Harvey or if you call him out at all, he blocks you, which I kind of feel like if Jesus had a Twitter, he would have blocked a lot of people, too. I really do. I think he would have been out there just blocking all the haters.
Okay.
For sure. By the way, Michael Berry also took that tweet that I posted. He retweeted it, and he's like, dude, not to be an ass, but you are way out of line here and clearly not a Christian. Jesus would have banked a million easy. Pretty funny stuff from Michael Berry. What do they call him? The Czar? Michael Berry? Is that the Czar?
He's got a lot of nicknames, depending on how much you know. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, touche, yeah. Touche. Hey, usual suspects, love the show. Who's ready for some yard work? Always.
No.
Ready?
Yeah, that's
for
the creepy thing.
Work.
Before the show even started, you're sitting over here. Was that USA Mike? Coming in and just started to talk gardening talk with you. I was like, I have to deal with this enough on the air. But
I got no problem with it.
I got plenty.
I'll talk long all day long. Let's
I know
do it.
You will. But that was creepy. I was like, I thought he was coming in to talk about the games this weekend or the game tonight, and he wants to talk about, like, fertilizer.
Yeah, no, it's trees. He's
Whatever.
Got a, he had a bum tree. He needed to figure out what to do with it. All right, so I'm going to ask this question, and then we'll do the whole
yes.
Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco in the next segment. But somebody said, hypothetically, would you rather have B.O.B. or Mike McCarthy as a Texans head coach?
Oh, Mike McCarthy.
Hands down,
yep.
No question about it. You don't even have to ask me twice. Mike McCarthy any day of the week.
No question
it's I can't be the only one that thinks that regardless of how the players played, Bill O'Brien just got out-coached. On Saturday
again,
way out. In fact, there was the one where there was a play where it was questionable whether Hopkins caught the ball. Right? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And instead of hurrying up, everybody takes their time, and then they end up challenging it. It ends up going in his favor. But why aren't you getting to the line? You should
yep.
have somebody in your ear going, "Yo, that looked like it might not be a catch. Hurry up, get up to the line, run a play." No, none of that happens. It's like, what's actually happening? Why does he even have a headset if he's not going to use it?
That's my biggest point of contention with him at all times. Is, again, we talk about learning from your mistakes, Watson learning from his mistakes. He doesn't seem to learn from the mistakes of the past. He keeps making the same mistakes, and that's not a good look for anybody.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We're late for a break, so we're going to get this break out of the way and continue to roll on. We are at Twin Peaks 59 and Kirby. If you want to stop in and see us, please do that. The Blitz will be up here next and after us, and then just stay here and watch the game. It's the perfect atmosphere for food, drink, and fun. Check us out right here at 59 and Kirby at Twin Peaks. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Jazz and A-Wall, that's our team.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of hour number two of The Big Show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Twin Peaks right here at 59 and Kirby. It is a great location. It's conveniently located, close to everything. And if you're looking for a great place to watch the game tonight, look no further than right here at Twin Peaks, because as we keep telling you, I mean, the 29-degree beers, fantastic. TVs all over the place. Great food and phenomenal scenery. If the game isn't going to catch your attention, let's just say, if you know what I mean, other things will.
A wink, wink.
Yeah, lots of pretty folks in the building already.
Thank you.
And I'm sure it will get better.
Oh, that's so
and
nice
Barry's
of you.
Here, too. And it'll get better all the way up through game time, I'm sure.
Well, look at this. A couple of folks on the text line, somebody, you know, we were talking about Steve Smith and his anger directed at Deshaun. Well, I shouldn't say anger, but criticism of Deshaun Watson for celebrating first downs while being down 21 to donut, to quote him directly.
Yep.
And somebody had texted the show and said, Barry, the internet's undefeated. They have video of Steve Smith doing the exact same thing while getting whooped. You know what? Somebody tagged me on it on Twitter. And it was, who was it? It was Mark. Was it Mark? No, Chris Davis tagged both of us and Nick. And it's, sure enough, Deadspin has a video of Steve Smith playing the Bears down 24-10. Gets a first down, not a touchdown, gets a first down and celebrates. Down 24-10. So it's not 21 donut, but you're still losing. So
this goes back
pretty funny.
To the ESPN things of a week ago, too. Because, again, be careful what you do. Ryan Hollins, the journeyman NBA player, went out a week ago and started banging on all over Adetokounmpo of the Bucks, and said Giannis doesn't deserve any MVP credit because he can't finish games and he's terrible in the fourth quarter and in the clutch he doesn't step up big. And then everybody on the internet came back and said, have you looked at his fourth quarter stats? Have you looked at his clutch? He's top three in the league. And they actually gave him the platform the next day to try and, like, rectify it. He was like, well, my bad. It's like, no. It's like Richard Jefferson saying Harden shouldn't be in the MVP discussion.
Well, I mean, if he apologized, that's fine. I mean, did he say I'm sorry?
He didn't really say I'm sorry. He just said it was one man's opinion, but he was kind of running from the fact that the stats completely back up the opposite of what he was saying.
Okay.
And then you get to the Richard Jefferson thing, and he didn't have any criteria. And let's also be honest and realistic about this, people. He's looking to get some run out of this. He wants people, especially in Houston and other places, to get to get the segment on ESPN and put it on social media and talk about it.
Of course.
What ESPN's doing. They're not stupid.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more texts, and then we're going to get to this Jackson thing, I promise.
Yep.
Hey, Barry, just wanted to say I love the show, but it was not the offense alone. It was bad defense as well, and Clowney didn't show up, but he wants a big paycheck. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it. They can franchise him this year, but his contract is up. He does become an unrestricted free agent. I mean, yeah, the defense definitely let them down. I felt, obviously, second half was a lot better than the first half. But you can't pin this. I mean, if you're going to pin this on anybody, it's got to be Deshaun Watson. I think, you know, J.J. Watt didn't have a great game. He had a good first half. He kind of disappeared in the second half a little bit. Also, how about the fact that your wide receiver in Hopkins is playing with a sprain in his shoulder?
Yeah.
And you couldn't even tell, really. I mean, you knew he was maybe
banged
up. He was
toughing it out, but you could tell he was in some pain.
But who do you think was more dramatic with their arm injury? DeAndre Hopkins
or
J.J. Watt? I didn't even know that DeAndre Hopkins had a shoulder sprain. You couldn't tell. You might have thought he had some discomfort.
Right, right.
Or maybe got – but, boy, you'd have thought J.J. Watt got shot. Like, it got chopped off in the middle of the game or something.
But yet when he got that sack, it didn't seem like it was
hurting
him at all.
No, God, no. Of course not.
But here's the other thing, too. I mean, you can say it was Deshaun, but overall, it's like everything's connected. It's like the 6 degrees of separation. But everything's kind of connected because Deshaun, and if you listen to his post-game comments, he was talking about the fact he could never plant his back foot because he was always under duress. There was someone always in his face. So you can put that on the offensive line. The defense didn't play well. And you and I have constantly gone through this sequence of what are you going to work on, focus and focus on improving next year, regardless of how the outcome of this game turned out. And we started with the offensive line, and then we got to the secondary, and we went to, you know, depth at running back and another receiver and all these other things. And I think they're all somewhat connected because of the way you look at the microcosm, what this game was. And the fact is they now know more than they've known ever before. If they didn't know before, they had worries about injury. Deshaun Watson's your guy.
Yeah.
But you have got to get serious about this offensive line. You can't bring in journeymen and guys that maybe have been overlooked and think that they're going to step in and suddenly find everything that's been shortcoming to theirs and play well this year for the Texans. Just like from a secondary perspective, you've gotten every ounce that you could possibly have gotten out of Kareem and JoJo, but it's time for a complete overhaul in that secondary.
You talk about a guy that had a bad game. Kareem Jackson.
No
all year
doubt
long,
about it.
Played out of his mind, played better than he's played in years. And they just laid an egg in this game.
You
looked
went
really
through
bad.
It. You went through and talked about his overall ranking and all the ways he had climbed the ladder, come back. I kept continued to brag about his tackling and how great that had been. And for all that he had built himself up for free agency and otherwise to get paid.
Just laid an egg.
Boy, did he lay an egg on Saturday.
All right, so back to this Ravens game real quick.
Yes, yes.
At halftime, I fully expected to see Joe Flacco. I thought you had to. I didn't think – nothing was working. It seemed like Lamar Jackson was just – struggling, he couldn't get anything going. He fumbling, and you just felt like they needed a spark, they needed a lift, they needed a guy that could run that offense, and they didn't. They left Lamar Jackson and they hung with him through the game. It proved really to be the right decision in the fourth quarter, at least, because he almost led them to a comeback. Thoughts on should they have played Joe Flacco or was it the right move to stay with Lamar Jackson?
Here's what I did. I went and looked at the, you know, because I'm with you. I was like, you know, if he continues to fail this miserably, I thought at least by the second series of the second half, that especially depending on what the Chargers were doing in terms of points and moving the ball, you had to try and make the switch. You had to give him a shot because you had to try something different. But then I looked at the contract situation and I realized Flacco's gone at the end of the year. He's a free agent. He's gone. So you're not gonna have him under contract. So it actually hurts the long term more than it helps you long term because you know that growing pains are gonna happen with a rookie quarterback, first playoffs, all these, you know, second time a team's actually gotten to scheme for, see tape on, and be ready for a guy like him. And the Chargers were ready, there's no doubt. But I thought that I understand why they didn't do it because of the fact that Flacco is gonna be gone at the end of the year regardless, and you really could have hurt the development of Jackson. He could have had some feelings that lingered on and held this against you going forward, and he just needed to be growing pains, if for lack of a better term. He had to fight his way through this. That's why I think they didn't do it.
Do you agree with it?
No.
You would have
I think
Flacco?
You had to take a shot, yeah.
See, my thing is I thought about that, and it's like, you know what? You know that Lamar Jackson is your quarterback of the future. So, yeah, you're probably going to hurt his feelings if you pull him in a playoff game. But you know what? And I get that Joe Flacco's not here. But you know what? At the end of the day, your decision making has to be to the guys on that roster in that game right there. I'm not going to worry about what happens next year. I'm not going to worry about who's here and who's not. Your number one priority is to win that game.
Yeah, this for everybody
season,
in that locker room.
Because
I
you
get
owe
that.
It to the guys yep. on the field right yep. now out there bleeding and sweating and busting their ass to try to win that football game. You're not. You shouldn't be thinking about next year as the head coach. I imagine that was in play with him, though, is, you know, if I bench him, I might hurt his feelings, and then now I got to deal with that next year. Flacco's gone, but I've still got, you know, Lamar Jackson's still here.
He's under contract next year, and you're looking, because you know you're going to have to trade him, and you want value for him,
who?
Flacco, then I think you make the switch. You have a little bit more that says you make the switch simply because you're also trying to add value to a guy that you know isn't in your long-term future, and you are going to try and find a home for him and a trade partner. Then it maybe changes the dynamic and the thought process a little bit. I don't know. But I think because of the fact that you don't know what kind of fragile ego you might be dealing with. You know his agent's going to have a lot to say if you bench him. These things have happened in the past. So I understand why they didn't make the move, but I was surprised that they didn't. And you're right. He did play great in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, he really did. And although I think he played well, and he hit some really big passes for that team as part of the comeback. But I heard somebody exclaim, well, now I think based on the fourth quarter, you can put to rest any of this Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball stuff. I've said he's good enough to keep you honest, but I don't think he's legitimately good at throwing the football.
Well,
he's good enough at making you respect it.
Let me ask you this.
That doesn't change based on that fourth quarter.
If they did make the change, because the throw to Crabtree in the corner, the one over the top on the run, I don't think Flacco could have made. But if Flacco came in, would you have expected a different result? Because what I saw was a Charger that was teeing off anyway. But if you put a guy that's a statue back there and can't move like Jackson, he might have gotten crushed.
Well, I think the play calling changes too, though. I mean, I think the play calling changes. I don't know, but I think at that point it's so bad, you've got to try it. Now, if Flacco goes out there for two or three series and lays an egg, then you can go back to Lamar Jackson and maybe just the shakeup of, whoa, I can get benched in the playoffs changes his attitude. I think you have to try it. I mean, it turns out
You were searching for answers, and maybe you had one on your bench.
I still would have probably tried it, but whatever.
There you go. All right, we got two in the books. We got 1 hour still to go, and we're going to have the Sports Mappers join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.